I'll say good morning. Let's begin. All right. So we left off, Rabosai. So today's daf is Mem Vav. So we left off. Last word. Mamish. Okay. Misve. Mem Vav. Good. Misve. So Gemara now raises the catch. Let's remember the sugi over here. We're talking about how what the nature of the brachos. Over the course of the days of Sukkot, for both lulav as well as for Sukkah. So the Gibray says, "Fine, ha'osa lulav liatzmo." If a person makes a lulav for himself, Omer Baruch Shechianu v'kimanu v'yanu lazman hazeh. So both said, when he says osa lulav, what he's talking about over here is a person is putting together the lulav bundle. So a person puts together the aguda before Yom Tov. So he says Shechianu. This is before Sukkot. Before Sukkot, he says Shechianu, not lo lotes, but when he picks it up to go and be yotze with it, Omer Baruch Hashem Kisham Savitzivanu Amatilas Lulav. Okay, when you pick it up to be yotze, you say the Baruch of Amatilas Lulav, the Afapi Sheberech Halab Yom Rishon, Chozer Umavarech Kol Shiva, and even though you made the Baruch on it on the first day of Yom Tov, you in fact do go back and make a Baruch all the subsequent days of Yom Tov as well. Ha'oses sukkah, similarly, if one makes a sukkah, liatzmo, for himself. Omer baruch shechyonu v'kimanu. So also it's interesting. So the Brisa now says, in the same way that you can make a shechyonu when you are making the lulav bundle, you may also go ahead and make a shechyonu when you are actually constructing the sukkah. This is before Yom Tov. Nichnas le'sheva, when you go to sit in the sukkah. Omer baruch omer asher kiddisham esosav etzivanu le'shev basukkah. When you sit in it, you make the bracha of le'shev basukkah. And when you go back, and after you make the bracha on the first day, you do not make a bracha of leishe basoka on any of the subsequent days. So the Gemara says, Kasha lulav alulav, kasha sukkah sukkah. This contradicts, because in yesterday's daf, what did we say? Yesterday's daf, we said, for lulav, you make the bracha on the first day, not on the subsequent days. And sukkah, you make the bracha every single day. So what's the pshat? So bishlam alulav alulav al kasha. So it doesn't have to be a contradiction for lulav. Why? Kan bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim. Kan bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim. Oh, Rabosai, when do we say that you make a bracha? When do we say that you make a bracha all 7 days? That's when the Beis HaMikdash is in existence. Why, Rabosai? Because remember, again, when the Beis HaMikdash is in existence, Lemaisa, again, the mitzvah alula applied all 7 days. Versus, again, now that the Beis HaMikdash is not in existence, remember, so there is no obligation other than the first day. The first day is Doraisa. Again, the remaining 6 days is Zecher LeMikdash. But LeMaisa, again, there's no obligation. Furthermore, Ela Sukkah, Sukkah Kasha. What about Sukkah? So what do we do with Sukkah? The Braisa we just quoted over here said that you only make a bracha on the first day of Sukkot. But yet the Braisa we quoted yesterday says that you make a bracha every single day. So how do we resolve that contradiction? To which the Gemara says, Tanoihi. In reality, it is a Machlokes Tanoim. This sanya, because we learned in a braisa, but it's a very interesting halakha. Tefillin, kozman shemanichan, mevarich aleihem, divrei Rebbe. But it's Rebbe says like this, every single time you put on tefillin, look at Rashi, kozman shemanichan, va'afilu cholzan umanichan mea pamim bayom. Let's say you're putting tefillin on and off throughout the day. So the halakha is, according to Rebbe, you go ahead and make a bracha on them every single time you put them on. So Rashi says, "V'gabi sukanami, afagav delo mafsiki leilos miyamin, ukechad yoma arich dohu, mevarchin alei b'chol yom, dhu dumya d'cholitz umaniach." So it's like a very interesting halacha. So remember, Rebbe says that every single time you put on tefillin throughout the day, you 1,000 times, 100 times throughout the day, you're still going to go ahead and make a bracha each and every time. Now, the interesting part about that is, even though it's all part of the same day, it's all part of the same day, nevertheless, every single act gets its own bracha. On the other hand, the Chachamim, look at the Gemara, the Chachamim say, Eino mevarich ala shachris bilvad. The Chachamim say, no, you make one bracha per day. One bracha per day, and that bracha will cover you for as many acts as you commit that particular day. So concept of the Birchos HaMitzvah. So we'll say, therefore, applying this over here, according to Rebbe, therefore, again, you would make a bracha what? Every single time you use the sukkah. no matter how many times throughout the day, throughout the 7 days you used it, lemaisa, again, you would make a bracha. According to the Chachamim, since Rabbi said the mitzvah of Sukkah is a continuous mitzvah, it begins on the first night of Sukkot, and it continues throughout. It's like Yom Ha'arich, that's what it's like, one long day. Therefore, according to the Chachamim, you make one bracha at the beginning, and that's it, and you're covered for the rest of the time. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that the two brises therefore are not contradictory. The bracha, the brise that says that you have to make a bracha every single day, that's reflective of the view of the Chachamim, who hold it just like by tefillin, if you put on tefillin multiple times during the day. So what the Gemara is doing over here is equating one day of tefillin with 7 days of sukkah. Because just like technically within one day, the mitzvah of tefillin applies continuously throughout the day, so too again on 7 days of sukkahs, so the mitzvah of sukkah continues. The mitzvah of sukkah applies or is applicable throughout the entirety of the 7 days. So the Gemara is suggesting the same machlokis by tefillin is a machlokis by sukkah. To which the Gemara says, Elishak, itmar, abai, itmar, abai. So itmar, it said, abai, or abai, it's supposed to say. So that's again, one more time. Machlokis Rabbi Necham by tefillin, the Gemara is suggesting, is the same machlokis over here by sukkah. Rabbi holds that you have to make a bracha every single time on tefillin throughout the day. Will hold what? That you have to make a bracha every single time you use the sukkah throughout the 7 days. The Chachamim will hold that you only have to make one bracha in the beginning of the day for tefillin, will hold one bracha for sukkah as well. Itmar, Abayi Omer, Hilcha Sukkah Rebbe. Abayi says that the halacha follows Rebbe. We'll say, what does Rebbe say? Rebbe is the one who says that Lamaisa, you have to make a bracha every single time you put on the tefillin, and therefore again, you would have to make a bracha every single time you use the sukkah. For Rava says, Hilcha Sukkah Rabbanon. Rava says, no, the halacha follows Rabbanon. Amrat Mari Bira Dibas Shmuel Chazina Le Dirava Diloka Avid Kishmaite. So here you have Rav Mari saying, I saw Rav. Remember, what did Rav just say? Rav just said, Allah Chafal Zerabonon, which means what Rav say? One bracha at the beginning of Sukkot, and that should cover you throughout the entirety of the Yom Tov. So now comes Rav Mari and says, I saw Rav, and he did not conduct himself in accordance with his ruling. Ella. What would Rava do? Makdim v'koi, v'ayla beisakise. Rava would get up early in the morning, go use the bathroom. V'nafik, he would come out. Umashi adi, he would wash his hands. Umanach tefillin u'mavarech, he'd put on tefillin, he'd make a bracha before putting on tefillin. V'chi itzturach zimna achrina, and if he'd have to go to the bathroom again, what would he do? Ayla beisakise, go to the bathroom. Obviously, take off his tefillin, go to the bathroom. V'nafik, he'd come out. Mashi adi, he'd wash his hands. Umanach tefillin u'mavarech. And he put on his tefillin again, and what? And he make a bracha. The Rabbos say, Rava just said before that the halacha follows with the Rabbanon. What do the Rabbanon hold? One bracha per day on tefillin. So here you have Rav Mari saying, but it's very nice that Rava said that. I saw Rava, and I'll tell you, as much as Rava said that, that's not what Rava did. Rava made a bracha every single time. But Anan Nami Kerebi Avdinan, and therefore Rav Mari said, personally, I paskin like Rebbe as well. Umevarchin kol shiva. And therefore, I make a bracha on sukkah every single time I use the sukkah throughout the 7 days. Amar Mar Sutra. Chazina le Rav Papi. I saw Rav Papi. Dechol imas demanach tefillin mevarich rabbanon mevarich. I saw Rav Papi that every single time he put on tefillin, he made a bracha. Rabbo said, in accordance with the opinion of Rebbe. Rabbanon debay Ravashi, kol emas de meshamshi buhu mevarchi. The Rabbanon, the rabbis of the yeshiva Ravashi, every single time they would touch the tefillin, Rashi says, de meshamshi buhu, de kaimalon chayv on the mashesh with tefillin kol shah. The Gemara says, a person is obligated to touch their tefillin at all times, as a way of reminding myself that I'm wearing the tefillin. So apparently, the Rabbanon on the yeshiva Ravashi would go ahead and make a bracha every single time they touch the tefillin. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar. So, okay, fine. That's the end of the tefillin discussion. So Rabbi said, we know halacha lemaisa. We do go ahead and make a bracha every single time. Meaning if a person were to put on tefillin multiple times throughout the day, they would make a bracha every single time they put on the bracha of tefillin. The exception to that is if a person takes off their tefillin, let's say to use the restroom. If a person has in mind to put the tefillin back on, in those circumstances, a person need not make another bracha before putting it on. But should a person engage in multiple distinct acts of putting on tefillin, one would indeed make a bracha every single time one put it on. I'm sorry? Same thing, same idea. Again, if I'm going to the bathroom and my intention is to put it back on, I need not make a bracha. But halacha lemaisa, if a person took it off and then put it on again for some reason later on, you would make a separate bracha, assuming it's your talis.
Except if you go out.
So we're not finished with Sukkah yet. We're not finished with Sukkah yet. That's now we're back to that. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Mitzvahs lulav kol shiva. Rav Yehuda said the mitzvah of lulav applies all 7 days. Now, when we see mitzvah lulav applies all 7 days, we're talking here about bracha. So you'll go and you'll make a bracha. Rashi says mitzvahs lulav shiva lebracha. You'll make a bracha all 7 days. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says yom rishon mitzvahs lulav mikan ve'elech mitzvahs zekinim. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says the first day is a daraisa. The subsequent days, literally, mitzvah sekinim means it's a mitzvah of the elders, which means it's a dirabanan. It's a dirabanan. And I will say again, it would seem to be saying that lemaisa, because it's a dirabanan, you will not make a bracha on it. Rabbi Yitzchak amar kol yoma mitzvah sekinim. Rabbi Yitzchak says every single day is a mitzvah sekinim, meaning every single day is a dirabanan. Vafilu yom rishon. But is that true? What about the first day? Vaha kaimalon yom rishon daraisa. Aye, but we've already established that the first day is a daraisa. Ema bar miyom rishon. Say no. Every single day is a mitzvah sekinim. Every single day is a derabanan, except for the first day. Ihachi hanad Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. If that's the case, then the Ma'aser Rabbi Yitzchak is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Ema v'chin amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Says Saint Einachinami that Rabbi Yitzchak is not coming to argue Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, but rather Rabbi Yitzchak is coming to agree. Va'af Rav Savar kol shiva mitzvas lulav, and even Rav holds that you should make a bracha all 7 days. The amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi amar Rav. So we'll say again. Now here's what we've established. What everybody agrees with is first day is Doraisa, and first day warrants a bracha. And 6 days are Dirabanan. And the Shaila is, what you have over here is interesting. Rabbi Shmuel Levi seems to be saying that because the 6 days are not a Dirabanan, therefore you don't make a bracha on a Dirabanan. Now the Gemara is going to question that assertion. Why would you say you should not make a bracha on a Dirabanan? We make brachos on Dirabanans. If that's the case, you should make a bracha on the subsequent 6 days of Lulav as well. How do we make a bracha on Dirabanans? The Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav. Hamadlik ner shel Chanukah. Tzarech levarich. Rabbi say when you light ner Chanukah, you have to make a bracha. You have to make a bracha. Look at Rashi. The Amar Rav, b'ner Chanukah demidrabanan hi, u'bo'e bracha, hachinami loshna. Rabbi say ner Chanukah is a Dirabanan. And if you're going to make a bracha on ner Chanukah, then what? You should make a bracha on the 6 days of the rabbinic mitzvah of Lulav as well. Rabbi Yirmiya says, haroa ner shel Chanukah. So Rav will say, now that once we brought this up, we learned this a little bit. Not only do you make a bracha if you light it, but what? You make a bracha if you see the Ner Chanukah as well. My Mevarich, what is the bracha that one makes? Am Rav Yehuda, Yom Rishon, on the first day, Hamadlik Mevarich Shalosh. So the one ultimately who is lighting the menorah makes three brachos. Haroa, one who sees the menorah, Mevarich Shtayim, only makes two brachos. So Rav remember, on the first night, the Madlik will make the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, Sha'asanisim, and Shechyanu. The one who's making a bracha on someone else's menorah that he himself did not light will recite Sha'asanisim and Shechyanu, but of course will not recite Lahadlik. Why? Because he's not lighting it. Mikan ve'elech on every subsequent night, i.e. after the first night, Madlik Mevarich Shtayim. So the person who goes ahead and is lighting the menorah makes two brachos, Sha'asanisim and Shechyanu. V'roa Mevarich Achos, Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah and Sha'asanisim. And the one who sees it makes one bracha, and that one bracha is what? The bracha is Shasanisim. Umay Mevarich, Baruch Asher Kiddusham V'Sasav V'Tzivanu, Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. So what is the primary bracha we make on the menorah? We make a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to go ahead and light the Ner Shel Chanukah. Mar says, 1 second. Ve'echon Tzivanu. When did God command us to light Ner Chanukah? How can you say Asher ki d'sham v'sasav etzivanu lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah when the Torah doesn't say anything about that? Oh, the Torah, the Rebbe says, is actually a very profound Gemara, milo sasur. Rebbe says, the Torah gives us an obligation, v'lo sasur min adavar asher yagidu l'chol yaminu smol. The Torah vests the rabbis with the ability to create halacha. And the Torah says, you may not veer left or right from what the rabbis tell you. Rebbe says, the way the Gemara darshans that is, even if Chazal tell us that our right is our left and our left is our right, we have an obligation to listen. Full obedience to Halacha. Now this is very profound, by the way, because what this also says is that based on this, what you can make a logical argument to say that every Dirabanan is actually a Doraisa. That every Dirabanan has some koach of a Doraisa because every Dirabanan is derived from a biblical mandate of Lo Sasser. It's a much more intricate discussion, but it's fascinating. That's why, again, we see that one really has, very often people say, oh, it's only a Dirabanan. So, you're right, Dirabanan is not like the Oraisa, But clearly, again, Derabanan is a derivative of a Doraisa, so one has to treat it with incredible importance as well. In any event, so the Gemara, so therefore, I will say, and this even gives us the power to say Vitzivanu, so that we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you commanded us to light Ner Chanukah. How did God command us to light Ner Chanukah? Because God commanded us to listen to the rabbis, and the rabbis commanded us to light Ner Chanukah. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Shalavicha V'agedcha. He learns that from the pasuk of ask your father and he will tell you. So we'll say, interestingly enough, his understanding is that father in this context is Chazal. And ultimately, again, Chazal are telling us to go ahead and light Ner Chanukah. That's the Vitzivanu. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masnila Behedja. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak stated this explicitly. And what did he say? Amar Rav Kol Shivas Mitzvas Lulav. That the Rosh, again, when we talk about the mitzvah of lulav applying all 7 days, no one's disagreeing that there's a mitzvah of lulav all 7 days. The first day is Daraisa, 6 days are Darabanan. What he's saying over here is you make a bracha on each of those days. Tana Rabanan. So also again, Lemaisa, that's how we paskin. That we make a bracha on lulav all 7 days. First day because it's Daraisa, 6 days because it's Darabanan, and we can say Vitzivanu. Why? Because Lo Sasra Min Al Dara Shagidu Lecha. So also remember, what did the Braisa say? That when you construct a sukkah for yourself, technically speaking, what can you do? You can make a shechianu already when you are constructing the sukkah. You can make, okay, and what happens? Nichnas leisheba. Then on Yom Tov, when you go into the sukkah, you say, Baruch asher kidishanu. Remember, that's leisheba sukkah. Haisa asuya va'omed. That's what Rabbi said. Let's say I have a sukkah that stands year to year. Right, so again, I will say either that's because I use a structure, or because I'm lazy, and I leave up my sukkah. You know, by this time, you know, it's almost Pesach. By the time you turn around, it's Shavuos. Shavuos, man, is just a stone's throw away from sukkahs. So what's the point of taking it down? So then, what happens? Im yochol lechadish badavar mivarech. If I can go ahead, if I'm going to be mechadish something, if I'm going to go ahead and what? And add something new to the sukkah, meaning something in the structure. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to put in a window. I'm going to add some nuschach. Then mevarich. Then I say I can make a shechianu on it again, meaning when I'm constructing it. Im lav, and if not, lichshiyich nas leisheba mevarich shtayim. If not, then when I go into it, I do what? Meaning on Yom Tov, then I'll go ahead and I'll make a leisheba sukkah and a shechianu. And that shechianu that I make serves a twofold purpose, which is what? Which is one, a shechianu for the Yom Tov. Number two, a shechianu on the sukkah. Amar Rav Ashi Chazina Leil Rav Kahana Dika Amar Luhu Lekula Akasa Dikedusha. So Rav Ashi says, I saw Rav Kahana did not recite a Shechianu when building the sukkah, but rather Rav Kahana said the Shechianu together with the Leishay Basukkah when Akasa Dikedusha on Kiddusha the first night. And I will say again, Halacha Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. This is in Simon. Tough Reish Mem Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Ha'oseh sukkah bein liatzmo bein la'acher. If a person makes a sukkah for himself or for someone else, eino mevarech ala siyasam. We do not make a bracha on the construction of the sukkah. There's no bracha to construct the sukkah. However, aval shechyanu ha'yaroi levarech kishoseh salatzmo. But technically speaking, you're permitted to make a shechyanu. Because Rabbi said, this is a new mitzvah. You're making a new mitzvah for yourself. You can make a shechyanu. But rather, says the Mechaber, what do? We rely on the Shechinah we're going to make on Kiddush on the first night. And that Shechinah serves a twofold purpose. Number one, it is on the mitzvah of Sukkah. Number two, it's on the Yom Tov. Hagah. Now, here's an interesting point. The Rama says, let's say you didn't eat the first night in the Sukkah. Let's say because of what? Rain. Because of rain. Then, you'd still be making Shechinah on Kiddush. Now that Shechianu then would be on the Yom Tov. Kisha'ocha b'sukkah tzarech levarich zman mishuma sukkah. So the halacha l'maisa is an interesting case. If you did not even sukkah on the first night, so you said Shechianu is part of Kiddush, but that Shechianu now just went on Yom Tov. The first time you do eat in the sukkah, in addition to your leishay b'sukkah, you will have to recite the Shechianu on the sukkah. Vim beirach zman b'shas asiyah sagila. However, if again l'maisa, if you did make a bracha on the sukkah at the time that you constructed it, then you are in fact yotzei with the shechianu, and you're fine. Now again, you'd still make a shechianu and kiddush on the first night. Why? Because that shechianu is for the yom tov. All right, turn it up on how you follow mitzvahs harbe. Person had a lot of mitzvahs to perform. So we'll say, let's say the Gemara says Rashi, for example, mitzvahs harbe lita lulav. I have to take a lulav. I have to sit in the sukkah. I have to put on tefillin. I have to put on talis. A lot of mitzvahs in front of me to perform. So what do I do? Omer. Baruch Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah Vitzivanu al hamitzvos. So that's very interesting. So the Braisa says that if you have a lot of mitzvos to perform at one time, instead of making individual brachos, you make a general blanket bracha, asher kiddushan v'sasav v'tzivanu, al hamitzvos, and boom, you could go ahead and do all the mitzvos under that one bracha. Rabbi Huda says no. Mevarich al kol achas va'achas b'fnei atzma. Rabbi Huda says no. You make item or mitzvah specific brachos, one bracha for each mitzvah. Amar Rabbi Zeira v'itim Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Hilchos Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. V'amar Rabbi Zeira v'itim, meaning that you make a bracha for each mitzvah. V'amar Rabbi Zeira v'itim Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? Why does he have to make a bracha on each individual mitzvah? Why can't you make one bracha for the collective group of mitzvahs? Tichsev Baruch Hashem yom yom. Bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu day by day. V'chi b'yom mevarchino so b'layla in mevarchino. So what does that mean? By day we praise God and not by night. Ella. But Omar Lacha, what the pasuk is coming to teach me is b'chol yom b'yom tinlo me'in birchosav. Every single day, give HaKadosh Baruch Hu his specific type of praise. Meaning, yom yom doesn't just refers to dissimilar days. On each and every day, give God the blessing that is appropriate for him on that particular day. Hachanami b'chol davar v'davar tinlo. I'm sorry, b'chol davar v'davar. So too over here, what? Give meaning for every single mitzvah, give HaKadosh Baruch Hu his due praise. So for each mitzvah, give him a specific praise. See how God is different than man. How so? Midas basar v'dam kli reikon amadeis. Listen to this. So the way it works in the physical world is that if you have a kli, if you have a utensil, and the utensil is empty, it could contain something. You could put something into it. If it's full, you cannot put anything more into it. But God is different. This is very, very profound. See, I'm going to have another drink of coffee before this, so you're ready. A full kli is able to retain more, an empty kli cannot. Well, say, look at Rashi. I'm sorry, not yet. So what does that mean? Shene emar, v'haya im shamoa tishma. Because the pasuk says, and if you will hear, you will hear. Now what does that mean? Im shamoa tishma, if you've already heard, you will hear. V'im lav lo tishma, and if not, you will not hear. Well, say, what is the Gemara saying over here? That lamaisa, you know how it works with ruchnius? The way it works with spirituality is, if your cup runneth over, right? If you already have a full kli that is filled with spirituality, that is filled with holiness, that gives you the ability to retain more holiness. If literally you're empty, it's hard to retain anything. That's it. Mshamoa tishma. If you've heard, i.e. you've ingested the spiritual message of God, you will be able to ingest more. If you have not already listened, it's hard to get any more. Davar acher, im shamoa biyashan, tishma b'chadash. If you've heard, if you listened to the old, meaning if you've listened in the past, then l'maisa what? Then l'maisa, you will go ahead and be able to hear with that which is new. Vim yifne levavcha, but if your heart turns away, shuv lo tishma, you will no longer be able to hear. Rabbi, look at Rashi for just a moment. This is pretty amazing. Im shama tishma, im horgalta lishmoa, as tishma, if you have habituated yourself to listen, then you will be able to listen more. Tuchal lilmod lehosif, you will be able to learn more. Vim lav, Rabbi, listen to this. Shelo hitisa oznecha b'yal dusecha lishma. Rabbi, so profound. If you did not habituate yourself in your youth to become a servant of God, it is very difficult to habituate yourself to that way of life as you get older. Rabbi, again, he's not saying it's impossible. Baruch Hashem, change is always possible. But the chapez is one of the most important things in parenting. You know, people think that the goal of parenting is to go ahead and let your kids have fun. That's the only way to let my kid grow up normal. I want them to have fun. Fun is nice. Fun is not the ikar of childhood. The best thing you could do for your child when they are young is to make them a kli that is already capable of receiving incredible doses of spirituality. Because if you condition them to be like that when they are young, you set them up for a lifetime of spiritual success. If you just habituate them to have fun, so clinical tests have shown that children who place emphasis on fun become adults who place emphasis on fun. That's not proper parenting. Proper parenting ultimately is fun has its place, but at the end of the day, I have to make my child a kli. Because if my child becomes a kli when they're young, they'll become even a stronger kli, a better kli, a bigger kli, bless you, when they get older. As opposed to, again, if a person misses out on childhood and I struggle as an adult to become a kli, we know it's hard. It's hard to become an adult kli. It's hard to listen now when I haven't listened earlier. It's hard to listen to the new things, so to speak, when I did not take advantage of listening of the older things. Again, is it possible? Of course it's possible. It's just more difficult. So that's the Gemara saying over here. You know, when it comes to Basar Adam can only use an empty kli to put things into it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability, the way God works is the fuller your kli, the more God could put into it. The emptier your kli, the more difficult it is to retain anything. Very profound. Miatinogos. Maria, what did the Mishnah say? That on the last day of Yom Tov, on the seventh day of Sukkot, what would they do? They would take the lulavim and the esrogim from the kids. From the kids, they would eat the esrogim. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. I'm going to be Yochanan. Esrog was a very interesting sugya. Esrog b'shvi aser b'shmini mutter. Rabbi Yochanan says an esrog is aser on the seventh day. It's aser on the seventh day of Sukkot, but it is mutter on the eighth day. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. Just go back for 1 second. I left out two Rashis. The im yifne levavcha. You see that Rashi? Rashi says im yifne levavcha. If you turn your heart away, lehisya'ish amash lamarta kvar milachzor alav. So Rashi understands that it's referring to over somebody who doesn't review his learning. If you learned and then you say, okay, I've done that already. That's by me, and I don't review it. Then what's going to happen? Shuv lo tishma. You won't hear again in the future. Mishatifne lipcha lebatala, shuv in mashmien oscha. Once you go ahead and remove your heart, right, to something else, then you won't be able to hear anymore. Tichsev im yifan. I'm sorry. So let's go on a little bit. So says Rabbi Yochanan. Just, you'll, this is important. The problem with Daf Yomi. Yeah. If you could spend a whole shiur just on this piece. It's such, so profound about what it means to make yourself a kli. What it means to make yourself, I want to say just quickly, you know, the Sefer HaChinuch says that life, very quickly, life is all about making yourself a utensil. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, you know, what happens in life sometimes is that in order to receive bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to be a kli haro'i lekabel. You have to be a utensil that's capable of receiving. Because if you're not a proper utensil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could shower all the bracha he wants onto you. And what's going to happen? You're not going to retain it. You know, like there's a mashlamah davadomer that, you know, they sell these coffee cups that have like coils inside, you know, heating coils. So it's good if you're a slow coffee drinker. You know, you can put it on your desk, you put it on the table, and it keeps the coffee warm. So obviously the mashal is like this. Imagine you go into the store and they have one of those, and I think they're expensive. You have one of those coil coffee mugs and they're on the clearance rack. Mamish, gewaltig, right? I can get one of these cups. I always wanted one. There's only one problem. It has a tiny little hole on the bottom. But mamish, it's a good price. It's clearance. It's great. So nobody's going to pick that up. Why? Because a kli that can't retain its contents is not a good kli. So Sefer HaChinuch says so often, our kelim look kind of nice, but there's a gaping hole on the bottom. Which means what? That as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours in the Shefa, pours in the divine energy, it just comes right out. Life is all about making yourself into a kli. If I'm a proper kli, that means that when bracha comes, and bracha does come, and it comes often, the problem is many times it comes and it flows right out because I can't retain it, and therefore I don't know how to use it. Life is all about making yourself a correct kli, and the whole chab of parenting is if you make your children into help, not make your children, but help your children forge themselves into the right kelim, they have such a leg up on life. Then suddenly again, they're not adults with leaky coffee cups. Suddenly again, they become adults with strong, beautiful kelim that have already been retaining bracha for years. And they begin their adult lives on a leg of success, not catch up like so many people have to do. All right, any event, it's another shiur for a different time. So the Gemara says the following. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Esrog b'shvi, aser b'shmini mutter. Rabbi Yochanan says an esrog on the seventh day is aser. You can't eat it. You can't eat it. However, again, on the eighth day, you can. I will say now, what Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying is that an esrog, since the esrog was used on the seventh day, Therefore, it is set aside for the mitzvah that entire day, and therefore you can't eat it. Eighth day of Shemini Atzeres is no mitzvah of Sukkah, no mitzvah of Esrog, and therefore you could eat the Esrog. Sukkah afilu b'shmini asura. Sukkah, on the other hand, you can't, it's asher b'hano, you can't use it even on the eighth day. So which that means is, you know, if you wanted to use it for firewood or something else, you can't use it on the eighth day. Reish Lakish says, Esrog afilu b'shvina mimotar. Reish Lakish says, no, you can even eat the Esrog on the seventh day. But my commitment, what are they arguing about? Mar sarvah l'mitzvah says katzoi. Mar sarvah l'kol yom es katzoi. One opinion says, which is really Reish Lakish, that the Esrog is only set aside for use for the mitzvah. And therefore, once you use it for the mitzvah on the seventh day, then what? You're done with it. And if you want to eat it, if you want to make it into Esrog liqueur, you can do whatever you want with it. It's done. As opposed to the other opinion who holds that what? No. Once the Esrog is used for the mitzvah, that sets it aside for any other, for that precludes it from being used from anything other than mitzvah use for the entirety of the day. Therefore, you would not be able to eat it really until the eighth day. So remember, what does the Mishnah say? That on the seventh day, you take the Esrogim from the children and you eat them. My love, who are dealing Gdolim? Does this not apply also to Gdolim? Meaning that just like I could take my Esrog from my kid, I could also take my own Esrog and eat it on the seventh day. And what does that indicate? That the Esrog is only set aside for non-use only at the time for the mitzvah. But once the mitzvah is performed, I could eat the Esrog. To which Rabbi Yochanan responds, Lo, tinokos dafka. No, actually it only applies to the Esrogim of children and not to adults. Why? Because I will say, since children don't really have a real mitzvah of Esrog, therefore again, their Esrogim are not set aside for non-use. Therefore, on the seventh day after they quote-unquote use it, I can eat the Esrog of children, but I cannot eat the Esrogim of adults. Why? Because that Esrog of an adult is set aside for mitzvah use the entire day of the seventh day, and therefore I may not eat it. Ike da'amri, others say, Eis ve Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Others say, no, it wasn't Reish Lakish asking Kashan Rabbi Yochanan, it was Rabbi Yochanan asking Kashan Reish Lakish. What did the Mishnah say? You could take the Esrogim, you could take the Lulavim and the Esrogim of children, you could eat the Esrogim. Tinokos in Gedolim lo. And Rabbi Yochanan says, what do you see from here? Dafka from children, not from adults. Why not? Because the Esrog of an adult is set aside for mitzvah use the entire day, and therefore cannot be eaten. To which Reish Lakish responds, no, who did not feel the Gedol? Not true. You could even eat the Esrogim of adults after they fulfill the mitzvah on the seventh day. The high diktani tinokos orcha demilsa katani. And the truth is, why did it say Esrogim of children? Because again, the truth is, that's normally the argument that you'd be eating on the seventh day. Most adults not eating their Esrog on the seventh day. Because again, maybe I need my wife to discharge her obligation. I want my daughters to discharge obligations. Maybe I'm going to take it later on in the day again. So the Ma'aseh Kamim wouldn't eat it. But technically, you can. So we'll say, this is the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan tells me again that Lamaisa, the Esrog is set aside for mitzvah use the entire day of the seventh day. And therefore, I cannot eat it until the eighth. Reish Lakish holds, no, once you've discharged the mitzvah, the Esrog on the seventh day, you can eat it already right then and there. That's the machlokes. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amri Rapop La'abai, Rapop said La'abai, Rabbi Yochanan, Maishna Sukkah, Maishna Esrog. Rabbi said, current Rabbi Yochanan, what's the difference between Esrog and Sukkah? Remember, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can eat the Esrog on the eighth day, but the Sukkah, you cannot dismantle, you cannot use for something else on the eighth day. So what's the chiluk? What's the difference? So the Gemara says the following: Amrle Sukkah dechazi lebein hashmashos. Here's the difference: Sukkah you may end up using bein hashmashos in the twilight period between the seventh and eighth days. How so? De'i yisramile sudasa boy meisiv begavar. Rabbosai, let's say you get hungry on the twilight period bein hashmashos, which remember again is the period between shkia, between sunset and nightfall in Tzeis HaKochavim. Let's say I get hungry bein hashmashos of the seventh day, between the seventh and eighth days. Where do I have to eat my meal? Where do I have to eat my meal? I have to eat my meal in the sukkah. Why? Why? Because again, bein hashmashos is a suffix period. We don't know what it is. Is it day, is it night? But because it's suffix, it might be the seventh day, and therefore what? I have to eat in the sukkah. Oh, if that's the case, boy meisa begava, umecha begava, is katzoi lebein hashmashos. That means, therefore, that this sukkah has been set aside for use during bein hashmashos. Umigo dis katzoi lebein hashmashos is katzoi lekule yoma dishmini. And therefore, again, Rabbi Yosef, remember, the identity of a day is forged at bein hashmashos as well. Once that sukkah was used at bein hashmashos, which was also potentially part of the eighth day, then what? That sukkah, is that structure is set aside for sukkah use during the eighth day as well. Now, I on the eighth day, I'm not using it for sukkah, but since it was set aside for sukkah use, bein hashmashos, that tells me what? That on the eighth day, I may not use it for any other purpose. However, esrog, delo chazi le bein hashmashos, but about say esrog, which would not be used bein hashmashos. Right, again, which means Rabbi say you wouldn't, meaning you wouldn't be using it, because once you use the esrog in the morning, you would not be picking up the esrog again to be yotze with it ben hashmashos. Lo es katzoy le ben hashmashos. Therefore, again, it's not set aside for use ben hashmashos. Lo es katzoy le kuliyom hashmini. And therefore, it's not set aside for non-use for the eighth day. Therefore, again, sukkah, which could be utilized ben hashmashos, therefore cannot be used on the eighth day. Esrog, which is not used ben hashmashos, can be eaten on the eighth day. But Levi, Amar Levi says, Esrog afilu b'shmini asr. Levi says that Esrog is asr even on the eighth day. Vavud Shmuel, Amar Esrog b'shvi asr b'shmini mutter. And the father of Shmuel said, Esrog is asr on the seventh day. Meaning when I say asr, I say asr to eat. But it's permitted on the eighth day. Kam avuad Shmuel b'shita say the Levi. But at the end of the day, the father of Shmuel retracted his position and actually paskined like Levi, who said that even on the eighth day it's usher, kam Rabbi Zira b'shitasi d'avod Shmuel, and yet interesting enough, Rabbi Zira paskin like the father of Shmuel in his original position. Remember, the father of Shmuel in his original position said what? That it's mutter on the eighth day. That it's mutter, right? I just want to get my sheet. It was correct over here. Correct. So remember, Rabbosai, just to be clear, Levi said that Esrog is usher on day 7 and day 8. Originally, avod Shmuel argued on him and said Esrog is usher on the 7th, permitted on the 8th. Then Avuah Shmuel retracted his position at Paskin like Levi, that it's Aser on the 8th. And Rabbi Zera Paskin like the original position of the father of Shmuel, which was what? That it's Aser on the 7th, Mutter on the 8th. Okay. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Zera, Esrog Shenifsala Aser La'ochla Kol Shiva. Because Rabbi Zera said that an Esrog that became Pasul, it's very interesting, Halacha, an Esrog that became Pasul, you can't eat it all 7 days. The Rabbi said, this is very interesting. Now, what does this mean? That if even if the Esrog can't be used for the mitzvah, you still can't eat it all 7 days. Why? Because it was set aside for mitzvah use. It was set aside for mitzvah use. Rashi says, Esrog shenifsala, rabusa nakata, filo nifsala, asur kol shiva, shemetchil shiva huktsa, ava b'shmini mutar. So what do you see from here? That Rabbi Zera says that if an Esrog became pasul, although you can't eat it all 7 days, when can you eat it? You can eat it on the 8th, like the original position of Avuah d'Shmuel. Rabbi Zera, lo likni enesh hoshana liyanuka, it was a very interesting halacha. A person should not convey ownership of his lulav to his child on the first day. A person should not convey ownership to his child on the first day of Yom Tov. Ownership of his lulav to him. You can convey ownership of your child whenever you want. Right? But you can't convey ownership of your lulav to your child on the first day of Yom Tov. Why not? My time. The yanuka mikna kani. A child has the ability to acquire. But a child does not have the ability to convey ownership. So once again, a child has the ability halachically to own something, but cannot convey ownership. Therefore, if I have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah on the first day, and I give my lulav to my child to be yotze first, he could acquire it, but what's the problem? He can't give it back to me halachically. He can't reconvey ownership back to me. So what's the problem? And then what will happen is I'm using a lulav that is not my own on the first day, and therefore halacha lemaaseh, that is a problem with lachem. So we'll say again, the easy way to avoid this is how is to go ahead and be yotze first. So Am Rabbi Zera, lo lema initially inuka. I'll say another interesting parenting tidbit. Lo lema initially inuka di yahavna lachmi di velo yahivle. Don't promise your child that you're going to give them something and not come through on it. Not come through. Don't make promises to your child that you're not going to carry through. Now, both sides. So you'll say to yourself, oh, because your child's going to be heartbroken and he's going to cry and he's going to say, that's not the reason. The Gemara says, Mishum da asi lag mori shikra. Because you teach your kid to be a liar. Because the Rebbe says, if you promise your child something and you don't come through on it, you've lied. You've lied. And if your child, remember, children learn so much from their parents, more from their parents' behavior than anything their parents tells them. So if I tell my kid I'm going to do something and I don't do it, I've lied to my child, and I'm the parent. If I'm a liar, then that must mean that lying is okay. And my child will learn to be a liar as well. Shene emar lindu lishonam davar sheker. Daber sheker. They will teach their tongues to speak falsehoods. So we'll say, in other words, the Gemara is saying is being a liar is a learned trade. And where could a child learn it from a parent who does not carry through on their word? Obviously, Rabosai, it's a very important yisod, because very often we promise our kids things that we can't carry through for a whole variety of different reasons, not because we don't care. But Lamais, what the Gemara is saying is be very sensitive to what you promise your children. Because if you promise your children something, you should come through for two reasons. First of all, because it's good for your parent-child relationship. And second of all, because you teach your child the concept of making good on your word. Goes weiter. But Pluto, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Lakish. The Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Lakish. What's the Machlokis? The Itmar, Hifrish, Shiva, Esrogim, Shiva, Yamim. Rabbi say, if you set aside seven Esrogim for 7 days, Omarav, Kol Achas, Va'achas, Yotze, Ba'ba, Ochla, La'al, Rabbi say, is interesting. So let's say again, this is the new Chumrah. I plan on advancing this one, right? This year. It's going to be good for our Lulav and Esrog sale, right? You really should have a separate Esrog for each and every day of Yom Tov. Really, that's the Hiddur. We uncovered some obscure Acharon Upaskins this way. So what happens? Let's say I went ahead, seven Esrog for 7 days. So what happens? Rav says, after I've used each one, I can eat it. I can eat it immediately. So according to Rav, once I've done the mitzvah, I can eat it. Ravasi says, Kol achas va'achas yotzeba va'achla lemachar. So Ravasi says, no, what can you do? After you've used that day's esrog, you may not eat it that day. When can you eat it? You can eat it the next day. But my kamif, what are they arguing about? Mar savar le mitzvasa is katsoi, umar savar le kuliyama is katsoi. I will say again, one is holding that an esrog is only set aside for non-use, for the mitzvah. It's only set aside, meaning, and therefore, after I discharge my obligation for the mitzvah, I can eat the esrog. And one says, no, once the esrog was used on a particular day, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, it's set aside for non-use, meaning for non-consumption use for the rest of that day. Va'anan de islan treyome hechi avdinan. And we who have 2 days of Yom Tov, what do we do? Amar Abaye, Shavasit, meaning, what do we do with our esrog at the end of Yom Tov? Amar Abaye says, shmini safik shvi aser. On the eighth day, which the day that we celebrate Shmini Atzeres, which is Safek, which may be the seventh day, you can't eat it because it may be the seventh day. Tishi Safek Shmini Mutter. But on the ninth day, which is a Safek, if it's the eighth day, then ultimately again you can go ahead and eat the Esrog. Mirema Amarimur says, Afilu Shmini Safek Shvi Mutter. Even on the eighth day, which is a Safek, the seventh day, you could eat it. Besura Avdi Kemeremar, Varav Shishabre Drav Idi Avid Ka'abaye. So in the Surah, they went like Mirema. Rav Shishi Brave Rav Idi Paskin like Abaye, the Hilchasa Kabaye, and the Aloch is like Abaye. So Rabbi say, how do we Paskin Aloch Lamaisa on this? So the Shulchan Aruch, again, this is in Simen. This is in Simen. Tough Reish. No. Safik Tosh, Tough Reish Samechei. Esrog Bishvi Aser. You may not eat your Esrog on the seventh day. This is even after you have been Yotze your mitzvah. So now, seventh day in the morning, I come home from shul. I want a little bit of Esrog. I want to squeeze a little Esrog in my tea. You can't do that. You can't eat on the seventh day. Shahare hukta l'chol zayin. Because Rabbi say, how do we paskin? We paskin that an esrog is set aside only for mitzvah use. An esrog, you cannot eat an esrog all the 7 days of Sukkot. Why? Because it's set aside for a mitzvah. Not only that, afilu nifsal achar sh'asaba mitzvah, asar kol zayin. Rabbi say, listen to this. Let's say on the first day, I dropped my esrog, piton broke off, esrog is pasul, I cannot eat it on Yom Tov, because from the onset of Sukkot, that esrog has a mitzvah identity and is set aside. You cannot use it for consumption. However, ubishmini atzeres mutter. On Shmini Atzeres, you can go ahead and eat the esrog, because again, now its mitzvah is over. Ubechutz la'aretz she'osim shnei Yom Tov shal galios aser af bishmini umutter b'tishii. However, in Chutz la'aretz, where we have 2 days of Yom Tov, we cannot eat it on the eighth day. Because again, for us, this eighth day is a suffix, seventh day. However, you can go ahead and eat it on the ninth day. All right, we'll stop over here. Shukoyach. Yeah. 8:15 tomorrow in your session. Yes.
Would it be fair to say that a better mushel for the kind of clean?